Well, this is Hashkafa. It's February 3rd. We're doing Hashkafa, the general topic. Although we're not really going to go through the particulars, has to do with Avera Lishma. However, the question's being raised: is it possible to have the opposite phenomenon? And that is where the a person does a mitzvah, and the mitzvah itself would constitute some kind of a negative factor, sort of like a Chilul Hashem. The idea of Avera Lishma, which, as I said, I'm not going to go into all the particularities, I think that's easier to understand, in general, to approach. Because you see in general that those things which constitute Averos, under certain circumstances, they can be permitted or pushed aside, so to speak, because there's other ideals. I mean, chil, you can be mechallel Shabbos to save a human life, things of that sort. You also have, see, because once you're dealing with the fact that it's not we're not looking at each individual action or even an avera as an end in itself, so to speak. That this is if you just do that avera, then it's the destruction of the universe. But we don't look at it that way. It's part of a system. It's part of a system, and there's different. There's the 613. Each particular mitzvah or each prohibition has an effect. It's a general idea. It leads a person in a certain kind of a direction, so that you're dealing with the overall system. Within a system, it's impossible, the Rambam says, it's impossible that at every given moment, in every situation, this is going to be the correct thing to do. There are situations where you have to put aside a mitzvah for the sake of a greater ideal. So that concept that you have Hora'at Shah, for example. Hora'at Shah, the Beis Din has tremendous powers. To put aside any, virtually any of the commands, except for one, temporarily suspension of some of the mitzvahs temporarily, for the sake of saving the system. It's a system that's given over to people, and they have to live according to the system, and they have to preserve the system, and they have to preserve the Jewish people, so that that's the greater good in this particular situation. So you can't be hampered by that. But person. Can't be hampered and held back because it could be that in a certain situation, the keeping of the mitzvah will have tremendous devastating consequences. And to the contrary, bitula, that's the expression that's used, bitula hikiyuma, that sometimes to negate a particular is the fulfill, preserves and maintains the system. So it's easier to understand that you have to use intelligence in the administration of the system. Of course, it has to be done very carefully, because any violation of a mitzvah is serious. But that idea that in certain situations, doing what otherwise would be considered an avera, but in this context constitutes a great kiyum, so that's lishma, because the person is doing it for the sake of the preservation of the system. That I would say is the general idea. All right. So now the question that's being raised is, what about if you're in a situation where, now I say ostensibly, because it remains to be seen whether this is actually the case, where you perceive that you're surrounded by people who disparage Judaism for whatever reason, who have a negative attitude towards Judaism, and if you were to do certain mitzvot in front of them, then it would cause them to laugh and at Judaism. It would bring about a very disparaging type of an attitude. Is this an issue that we should be concerned about? More specifically, however, is this touching upon the prohibition of Chilul Hashem? Is that what we would consider a Chilul Hashem? And the reason why we're saying that is because in general, the general description of Chilul Hashem, which is the worst avera of all, is that a person acts in a manner which causes people to disparage Torah. So when a person who's visibly Jewish, or people know that he's Jewish, and he engages in certain types of behaviors, whether it's unethical, immoral, and it causes people to criticize him, so then that's a chilul Hashem, because people associate. The key is that people associate what you're doing with the fact that you're Jewish, and it brings discredit to Judaism. And that's a very, very serious kind of an avera. So that the Rambam says, I mean, the person does an avera, so then how serious it is in terms of tshuva, there's different categories and all of that. And virtually every sin that a person does can be completely exonerated through tshuva. If it's bein adam l'chaverah, then he has to make amends and so on. Or whether he requires Yom Kippur or certain yisurim, whatever. But all of them are amenable to a complete kapara, even in this world. Except, he says, if a person wildly sinned, he was mechal shem shemayim. So he says, ultimately, Misa is the ultimate mechaper. So that in terms of Olam Haba, of course, every sin is amenable to tshuva for Olam Haba. But for Chilul Hashem, he cannot obtain a complete pardon in this world. He does obtain for the next world. So that's a very serious category. Now the question is being raised, well, is this also the same thing? That is, that the person is doing a mitzvah, but it's a situation where people are going to disparage. People are going to laugh and make fun. And what should a person do in that situation? Now the case that was given would be, the case that the Morris is mentioning would be lighting Hanukkah candles among people who think the whole thing is a joke. Or I'd give another example. What about, let's say you're in, this is something which comes up frequently. Let's say you're in an airport. And, you could be, Chilul Hashem is not only among Jews. Jews are game, putting on towels and tefillin and davening and something along those lines. And people might laugh at the whole thing. That maybe is a bit of a better example. So what should you do in a situation like that? Or, before you ask that, let's say one were to do that, and people would laugh. Would that constitute a Chilul Hashem? I'm saying Chilul Hashem is not only among Jews. That's something that has to be reemphasized. It is among Jews, and it is among Gentiles as well. Goyim as well. The reason, why? What's the reason? The reason is because it drives people away from a possibility of recognizing Hashem and serving Hashem. And that is something which is obligatory upon Jews and upon Goyim, Gentiles. Because a Gentile also has to keep the mitzvot. Not the Taryag, but the Noachide, the seven Noachide laws. So, and he too has to have knowledge of God. You have to be very, very careful. We have a responsibility towards Goyim. Now, the extent to which you have to go out of your way in terms of bringing them closer and all of that, that's a different story. That's not the same as Kirov in terms of Jews. But this is a different aspect. You're not allowed to do something which would drive them away from the truth of Judaism. Because the existence of God and so forth, it has to be recognized by all of mankind. And that's the essence of the Tfilos, by the way, on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. The Yeda Kol Pol, Kiyata Pa'alto. The essence of the Tfilos of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, what we're praying for is that the entire world should recognize God. Kol Masha Barasa, V'chein Tein Patchal Kol Masha Barasa. That God should place His awe, His fear on all the creation. And that's the perfection of mankind. So ultimately everybody has to know Hashem. That's really the mission of the Jewish people. God gave us the Torah, but it's for ourselves. It's not just for ourselves. It's something which has to be repeated very, very frequently because people tend to forget it. So yeah, Chilul Hashem is definitely in front of Goyim, even if no Jews are witnessing it. Yeah, Halacha does care, obviously, about appearance of wrongdoing. appearance of ruining them. But this case might help us out a little bit. For example, you're not allowed to do things that are permitted, but due to the circumstances, they give the appearance of being prohibited. Because it could be that way, because most of the people are in that situation, it's like eating in a tray for a restaurant. Okay? And even though you've arranged to have the food that you're going to be eating, you're having a business meeting, and you've arranged behind the scenes that your food will be completely kosher. So even if it's completely kosher, but the person walking by looks inside, sees you eating, it appears as though you're eating treif. So that's called marasayin. And that's not necessarily a chil Hashem. It's just that in general, you're not permitted to do things that create the appearance of sin. Because that too is a breakdown of the system. Essentially, that's the reason behind it. A lot of people say, well, why do I care what this person thinks? It's very, very significant. Because we reinforce each other. People are reinforced. So everybody gets weak from time to time, and people seek excuses on certain things. And if they see somebody else and he's doing it, so then it's not so terrible. On the other hand, if you see a person is scrupulously keeping the system, so this has a positive effect. Now, I don't think that it's the same, though. I think, however, Rav Moshe Feinstein gave a distinction which is important to remember over here. And he said that Chilul Hashem is not because the person is ignorant of the halacha. If you're doing something which is permitted to do halachically, but people aren't aware of that, or the person thinks it's prohibited. Let's say you're doing something on Shabbos, which is permitted, okay? But not everybody knows. People think that, and people might think it's prohibited to do this kind of thing on Shabbos. But that's because of their ignorance. So then you could say the same thing. To them, it appears that you're doing something wrong. So Rav Moshe said, that's not marasayin. That's not marasayin. And you don't have to worry about that. Basically, there's no end to the matter. I mean, there's a lot of ignorant people. So you can't factor that in. He said, marasayin is where people know the halacha, but the mistake is in terms of the situation. That's what the situation appears to be violation. It appears to be like you're doing something which violates, but not because they don't know the halacha. Now, of course, this question he dealt with in terms of himself, because he would get a ride to his yeshiva where he davened on Friday after his wife lit candles. So some people thought that once your wife lights candles, then you're bound for Shabbos. It constitutes an acceptance of Shabbos for the husband as well. So to them, it appeared that he was in a car, riding in a car on Shabbos. So of course he explained that that's not the halacha. So they're making a mistake. Now he said, nevertheless, he's not going to do it anymore, not because of the halacha, but simply because he doesn't want, you know, a person like himself, people look up to and so forth, so he doesn't want to create any confusion. But in terms of the halacha itself, he wasn't doing anything wrong. Now, I would say the same thing over here, that the Chilul Hashem factor is where a person is doing something which is despicable, which shouldn't be done. And that, whatever it is, he's engaging in certain kinds of behaviors that people would look down upon because they are ugly behaviors. The kind of language he's using, or business practices, or rudeness, any kind of a behavior which reasonable people, it's got to be reasonable people. Even if you're doing something which is okay. Let's say, for example, you're buying something. You know, Jews in general tend to like to negotiate a little bit, the price, and bargain a little bit. Now, there may be people that look down upon that, you know. But you're not doing anything wrong. That's not a Chil Hashem. It's the Chil Hashem is when you're doing something which is really wrong, which a reasonable person would say that that's a lower level of behavior. It's interesting. You see, for example, when somebody converts, so technically speaking, they have no relationship. Their biological parents are not their parents. When a Gentile converts to Judaism, he's Tinok, he's like a child that's just been born. He has no parents, according to Halacha. So his biological parents are not his parents. And thus, he has no chiyuv of kibud av v'aim with regard to them. Nevertheless, the Halacha is that he has to treat them with respect. Why? Because people will say, he went from a higher level of a Kedusha to a lower level of Kedusha. In other words, if they perceive that, this is interesting because, this you could raise as a question, because here they don't know the Halacha. But here the appearance, in this situation, everybody regards the biological as the parent. People can't comprehend that distinction. It's an abstract halachic distinction. And that's for Gentiles. This is essentially for Gentiles. Well, look, he converted to Judaism and now he doesn't have respect for his parents. So that's a different kind of a phenomenon. Because there the person is engaged in an action which clearly does not reflect respect. But when a person is doing something which is, he's praying. And now a reasonable person will either have respect for that or be neutral. What am I doing wrong? Or I'm lighting Hanukkah lights. Or I'm going out and dwelling in my sukkah. Now, the person that's not familiar with it, that's his, you know, he may be surprised, astounded, or you're shaking your lulav. That, if he laughs at these things, then that's not a Chilul Hashem. That's because of his own base personality. He's an anti-Semite or whatever his foolishness is. So why do I have to take that into consideration? That's not a Chilul Hashem. That's again, I would say like Rav Moshe, there's no end to the matter. I mean, a person doesn't like Jews or a person is angry or he hates religion. So anything you do, you put on a yarmulke, he's going to disparage you. So you shouldn't wear a yarmulke. That's not a Chilul Hashem. To the contrary, that only reflects the baseness of the other person. That's not the cause of the disparaging of Torah. It has to be that the deed you're doing causes him to disparage Torah. These people already have a built-in disparagement. Now, if you're going to be doing things, certain types of... appear to be very, very strange to a person. That I would really seek to avoid, or if I had to do them, I would give the explanation. I'd want to give the explanation to the person. There are certain practices that are questionable because of the way they're understood, and to me it's bothersome. For example, I just mentioned about something like kaparos, where most of the people that do it, it creates the impression of a very primitive type of thing, that you're transferring your sins onto the animal. And that bothers me because when people witness it, the Jews that don't know, or Goyim, that's giving a false impression of Judaism. That Judaism maintains an idea like that. To me, that would be in the ballpark of doing something which could be, in my opinion, a Chilul Hashem, because it's a falsification of Judaism. And now I'm not saying that there is not a reasonable explanation of kaparos. There is a sense in which it can be a good thing if the person understands the correct idea, which is to say it's similar to the idea of karban, that the person has a recognition when he brings a karban, an animal, that there's a recognition that he's behaved in an animalistic fashion, and that if he lives his life as an animal, then that's not human existence and that's worthy of destruction. So the bringing of the animal brings home these ideas. And so too the idea of the kapara, that if a person looks at it intelligently, then it's a good thing, that he really brings home the idea that he's been living his life according to his instincts, and if he's purely an instinctual being, then he's holeich lamos. he's destined for death. He doesn't partake of true life. So, you see, to the contrary, if you could explain that to an intelligent person, he'd be very inspired. That's a very significant idea. But if it's not explained that way, and it descends to the level of a very primitive, a mystical kind of thing, where you just project your sins onto an animal, and that's very close. You know, that way of understanding it is very close to the whole Christian idea that someone dies and your sins are forgiven. You could just dispense with your sins that way. And the same is true with regard to things like a tashlich. So if a person goes to a body of water and he says those tfilos and he has the concept, the idea of the cleansing of the waters, it's the same is true that one has to cleanse one's neshama, one's soul, so to speak, by removing false premises and false ideas. So that's a very nice thing. But what happens is, you see Jews go and they bring all kinds of things, like food, etc., and they throw it into the water. What's the point of that? And that, like we're throwing away our sins. Again, once it becomes some type of a physicalized kind of thing, a ritualized kind of thing, it's no longer the concept, it's no longer the idea. So then I think it gives people a bad impression of Judaism. I would not call, however, if a person is doing a mitzvah, it's time to daven. I would, in situations like that, you know, I've had to daven in airports and all of that. If you initially, you know, you may feel very strange and awkward. I got over that feeling. I try to find a private place. I wouldn't make a big display of it. I'll tell you where that could become a problematical thing. I think it's significant. Like when you go on an airplane, like El Al, or even another, we go to Israel, so very often Jews try to get a minion together. And that would be perhaps a case along the lines of Mars, that Mars is saying. So they'll get together in the back and there's not enough room, and maybe they're making noise and disturbing others, and people can't get through to go to the bathrooms, and they just want to, you know, get their ritual done. That, I would say, shouldn't be done. If it's arranged, there's room on the plane, if it's, you know, there's a place for that, it's a bigger plane, there's room, and you get permission. One time, when I'm on a plane now, I daven sitting at my seat. And one time, years ago, it wasn't a crowded flight. I asked the flight attendant, the woman, if I could say my prayers in the back. And she was very friendly, very courteous. She said yes, and she, you know, I told her it would take about 10 minutes or so, whatever. So, and she and somebody was walking back, and she explained to them, that's fine. But if it can't be done, then you should daven quietly in your seat, and the same at the airport. To disturb others, you know, make a whole thing, or daven loudly and disturb others, and annoy people, or cause any kind of problem, that I would say is where what Morris is talking about. That could border on that kind of thing where it could be a chil in the process of doing a mitzvah. But that's not from the mitzvah itself. That's because of the way you're doing it. Rather go to a private area. Sometimes you'll even find, like in New York, you'll find some Jews, get a minyan, do it respectfully, do it quietly, and then it's fine. But if somebody walks by, or if I'm in an area where I could be seen, the mere fact that I could be seen davening, I don't think that, to the contrary, if anything, I think people respect that. I'm not going to say it's a Kiddush Hashem, it could be though, because I think people, generally speaking, if you do it in a dignified kind of way, a decent individual will respect you. To the contrary, he'll say that here's a person who follows his principles, and he's not ashamed. By now, everybody knows. You know, you can recognize, most people will recognize that it's a Jew, or he's engaged in prayer. And he's engaged in prayer. So then, why make fun out of it? If a person makes fun out of it, it's because his problem. He has some base emotions. You didn't do anything wrong. You didn't do anything to evoke any kind of disparagement of Torah. So just because it results in that, not as a result of anything you've done, that's not a Chilul Hashem. But in general, as I said, if you know that you have these base people and you know that their reaction, I would try to avoid that. I would try to avoid it. I don't want to do a mitzvah and have people laughing at the mitzvah. I'd rather avoid. Or lifnei iver. Why put them in a position where they're going to stumble? But I wouldn't.